Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 23. On today's episode, we're joined by Coach Rowan Short, and we're going to be chatting about coaching in junior sports. So welcome to the show, Shorty.
Thanks, Danny.
Would you like to start off the show by telling us a bit about yourself and what you've done as a coach so far and what sports you coach in?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a long journey now. I started coaching when I was about 15, coached the local under-8s team. That's where normally people start, and in basketball. So basketball was my sport. My family was involved in basketball at the local club level, and I've just followed that passion all the way through and coached right up until, you know, all the way up to senior-level competition internationally. With the Australian Emerging Boomers team, I went to a World Uni Games in Russia and won a silver medal there. And I've coached in the NBL for 6 years and now sort of starting to move my way back down the pathway and starting to coach a lot more sub-elite athletes. So I've experienced the whole spectrum. I've got a coaching degree. I did a coaching degree at university. So I certainly had a passion for coaching when I first started out and have followed through that and made myself a professional career out of it.
Awesome. And what made you get into coaching into the first place? Was there anything in particular? Like, had you played basketball or other sports previously and then moved into coaching?
I think my father was the biggest influence in my coaching. He was a coach himself, and so I saw him as a bit of a role model. And most young coaches get involved in the sport because of a mentor, whether that be a phys ed teacher or a coach that they've had that's influenced them heavily. But you know, my interest for basketball, lad, I was always small and quick, but never big and tall. But I still love the sport. I love competing. And I suppose what I love most as a young athlete was being on teams and being around other athletes all the time, traveling and going to tournaments all over country Victoria and interstate. And that was a memory that's etched firmly in my mind that meant that maybe one day I'd like to coach and continue to do with that because I had a lot of fun at it.
Yeah, cool. And as I mentioned, guys, what I mainly want to talk about today is coaching in junior sport. It's obviously an important aspect of an athlete's career. And Shorty, in your opinion, what are some of the fundamentals of coaching junior sport, regardless of whether it's basketball or whatever sport it is?
I think the number one fundamental is that it has to be all about the athlete. It has to be about their experience. It's not your experience as a coach. And what I find with most junior coaches is that when I go to a game and watch on the sideline, it becomes all about them. So I'm a massive fan of making sure that the whole experience is driven by the athlete for the athlete. So I'm a big believer in making sure you know your athlete inside out as well. Coaching junior sport, it's about fun. That's why kids do it from the get-go. They want to enjoy the experience with their friends, so the social connection that it brings with it. So as a coach, you have to facilitate that. But I think whether you're coaching juniors or whether you're coaching Olympians like Patty Mills, you got to teach them something. People love to learn. So making sure that fundamentally as a coach you're well-planned, you got the knowledge that you need, and you understand how people learn, I think are really important tools in your coaching kit that you need to have to make sure that athletes can be the best that they can be. And I think if they feel like they're doing that and having some fun, then they'll be great clients. There'll be people that stick around with you for the long haul. They'll be very loyal, and they'll keep coming back.
Yeah, cool. And I'm sure over the years you've seen a number of different personalities and coaching styles and stuff. And where do you think people go wrong with coaching juniors in particular, and what are some of the mistakes that some people make compared to, I guess, coaching at senior level?
I think there's a huge focus on, you know, criticism and mistakes and negative experiences. So people get frustrated with the, you know, someone not succeeding or someone not performing, and they're quick to point that out. So I kind of operate in the space that I like to keep things fairly positive and enjoyable and talk to people about, you know, a growth mindset, because we can just never forget that they're still kids. So, you know, kids are quite vulnerable. They need time to learn. They need time to develop their skills. So I like athletes that train ugly. I like athletes that make mistakes, and teaching athletes, especially junior athletes, that it's okay to make mistakes. So mistakes are an opportunity to learn and discuss what we might do better the next time. So I think a lot of young coaches and coaches working with junior athletes forget that mistakes are going to be quite high. They expect perfection and they expect it to happen straight away. But, you know, as I've learned coaching many juniors over 20 years, that it's a process, and each year you got to keep building on someone's skills, both technically and tactically and psychologically.
Yeah, and I assume with obviously a senior athlete or a professional athlete, I guess you do need to train or kind of interact with athletes in different ways depending on how they respond to certain types of training and communication and stuff. And do you find that's the same with junior athletes? Like, do you treat them all exactly the same, or do you have to try and work out what they respond best to?
I think there's similarities, most definitely, and distinctions between a junior and senior athlete. But focusing in on juniors specifically, I mean, they're going through a rapid rate of emotional development as well. So you definitely have to understand what's in their heads at times, especially elite junior athletes who, for many of them, are highly driven, highly motivated, very dedicated, and commit a lot of time to it. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that's going on in their world. So approaching any training environment with a holistic approach, I think, is smart, but particularly with juniors, coaching juniors and learning to understand their needs at that time that are maybe beyond what the sport provides for them. Maybe you need to be an emotional support. Maybe you might be a father figure or a parental figure to them. Maybe you need to provide them with some relationship advice. So you do need to develop a whole range of different skills and soft coaching skills, that I would call them, to help you perform at your best as a coach for them. And so I do treat athletes very differently, but I'm consistent in my dealing. So I don't give anyone particular favoritism or treat anyone out or single anyone out if they're a better athlete. I'm firm and I'm fair and I'm consistent.
Yeah, and this wasn't something I was going to ask, but I kind of thought of it just then. What is your opinion? Obviously, you spoke about different individuals then, but what's your opinion on a team or individual not winning but still being told that they've done well and getting achievement awards and all this type of stuff, or kind of awards just for competing? Do you think it should be, everybody should be treated exactly the same regardless of whether they win or lose, or do you reckon they should be taught from a young age what it's like to lose and win and the differences between the two?
Look, I think it really depends on how your coaching philosophy marries up with maybe the environment that you coach within. So I've worked in a lot of elite junior environments where there is an expectation to win, and that is all about learning and teaching young junior athletes about dealing with those expectations and those pressures. So, you know, experiencing disappointment when there is a loss. But I've also worked in environments where participation is the key and nurturing youth development. And so I think you've got to wear various forms of clothing as a coach based on the environment that you're in. But, you know, I think the most important thing is praising the process, not necessarily the result. So, and being really clear with the athlete from the very outset about what your goals are for them and what you expect from them. And I suppose instead of praising results, maybe praising behaviors and habits that you're trying to instill in athletes, because those things will be lifelong serving. They won't just be short-lived, and they're things that will carry an athlete forward in their development over the long term.
Yeah. And now in regards to skills in particular, regardless of what sport it is, how important do you think it is to engrave, I guess, perfect skills or fundamental skills at a really early age? Or do you think you should just get them playing and then as you go, teach them?
I think there's a bit of a balance again between both methodologies. So I think anyone who just comes in with a game sense mentality to their training environments probably is missing the key parts about how you teach someone a new skill and how people learn a new skill. So I think you need to have a balance of both. But for me, working with elite seniors and emerging athletes, there's only an optimal window in someone's athletic development whereby proper form and technique is critical to their long-term achievements. And so I think it's critically important at younger age groups that technique and correct technique is practiced through appropriate repetition and progression. And if you can do those things well, then you'll be serving the whole system longer term and helping that senior coach maybe when they're 25 to 30 and at their peaks in particular sports, that you know, that they'll be spending more time focused on maybe some of the psychological or technical, tactical aspects of athlete development rather than just form and technique.
Yep. And you mentioned then just psychological. Again, this is something I've kind of just thought up now. What, for example, a junior athlete, let's not say, I guess, middle, so maybe adolescence, that's going through a period where they feel like they might have had a loss, or their actual skills in particular aren't up to par with the others around them. How do you deal with them more so mentally and trying to get them to change the way they think about not thinking about the fact that they can't, you know, shoot or kick well or whatever it may be? How do you get that, change that thought process?
I think it's part of the goal setting process with them to make them feel valued and make sure that they have a valued role within the team. Certainly not everyone can be the superstar in the team and play all the minutes in a particular team sport, but certainly I feel that adding value around the way that that athlete conducts themselves, maybe off the court, playing a role away from competition, on the bench, supporting their teammates, encouraging their teammates. Maybe it's the habits that they display. Some of the best athletes I've coached have played the least, you know, because of the contribution that they've made to the practice environment, not necessarily to the scoreboard. And those people, to me, go on to have lifelong, hugely successful careers in other areas. So I think making sure in the goal setting process that you understand what that athlete brings to the table, and making sure that you reward the effort, not necessarily the results of those athletes. A little bit harder, obviously, in individual based support sports, where there's often a measurement of where you rank and where you finish. But at the same point in time, it's about, you know, rewarding those behaviors and habits rather than purely where they achieved on some benchmark in accordance to everyone else's performance. Yeah. You can only be the best you. So that's very important to reinforce.
And I know you've coached some guys that you've basically watched them progress from a junior all the way up until a senior level, and now they're playing at a very high standard of basketball. How important do you think physical development is from an early age, or I guess in that adolescent age, how important do you think it is for their career once they step up into the senior level?
I think we're seeing the results of that now. My particular sport in basketball, that longevity in the sport, you know, well into your 30s is primarily dependent upon how well you've been physically conditioned as an adolescent. You know, obviously being a high impact sport on the joints, basketball is a sport that, you know, you can have an early retirement based on a lot of tendinopathy or tendonitis issues, especially in the knees. So I think it's we're finally working that out as a sport as a whole, and understanding that in the adolescent years we need to make sure that we prevent injuries around the ACL, we prevent calf injuries in particular, as well as improve hip mobility for, you know, performing techniques in basketball so they're a little bit more functional. I think all those aspects in physical development extend someone's career. So I know a lot of coaches that I work with at the sub-elite level now in juniors do spend a lot of time with physical performance coaches on, you know, basic squatting technique, basic lunge technique, a lot of foam rolling and recovery type techniques, because they're the things that we're now seeing that provide athletes through their adolescent years with an edge, and means that they can stay out on the training track for longer. And if they can do that, and not, especially because basketball's played nearly every weekend, especially here in Australia, it's a big thing to be able to train for long training chunks without injury. And basketball is a sport where you could play day in, day out. You don't necessarily need to have a game on a weekend and then rest for a week.
Yeah.
So I think technique and form technique in adolescent training, you know, is now become the norm. It's no longer becoming something that you only learn once you get into the senior grades.
Yep. Now, Shorty, you've coached both junior and senior level. Which would you prefer to coach?
I probably sit in the middle. I really love working with emerging athletes, providing them with, I suppose, the tools and the mechanisms to self-reflect about their performance and think about what is it that's going to make the difference for me being, you know, just one of those stories, one of those could have beens, one of those young junior athletes that everyone thought had potential but never quite lived up to it. I like presenting those questions to athletes and thinking about different creative ways as a coach that I can help them bridge that gap. So for me, I love working with the emerging athlete. The senior athlete is obviously exciting. It's a little bit more cutting edge. And the junior athlete, you know, really tests your true skills as a coach. If you work with a junior athlete, then that is the essence of coaching, because if you can create behavioral change in a junior athlete, I think you certainly can create behavioral change in an older athlete.
Awesome. Now, before we finish up, is there any advice you would give to someone just starting out as a junior coach, or even someone that has been coaching juniors for a while, anything that could help them become more of an effective coach to helping the junior athlete develop as a player in whatever sport they compete in?
I think most importantly is to remain open-minded. There's never a right or a wrong way in anything. And there's many ways to skin a cat. So when you build your coaching philosophy as a young coach, just remember that you don't have all the answers. But it is important for you to have a whole bunch of mentors in your coaching in your coaching life, you know, people that are going to be able to guide you and things that you can bounce ideas past, refer to them for information in difficult situations like dealing with parents or dealing with conflict within the club environment that you might be coaching in. So having mentors is another big thing for me. And the last thing is you really just got to have a thirst for knowledge and a thirst for understanding how people learn. Because I believe that if you do that, then the coaching process is a whole lot easier. It's not just about reading the latest magazine or the latest blog. It's thinking about your own method and really critically analyzing, I suppose, what's the best way for you to implement that aspect of training into your own coaching style or coaching philosophy. And might be suitable, it might be not. But just simply recognizing that there is no one best fit fits all, that it's, you know, coaching is a really organic process. It takes a real craft, and so I suppose that's the art of coaching, not necessarily the science. And if you get that right, then you achieve great things.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for joining us today, Shorty. Guys, there's a heap of valuable information there, so enjoy the episode. If you know anybody else that could also benefit from this episode, feel free to share it with them via social media or email and whatnot. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and I'll chat to you again next week.